everyone. This is ST here, the host of the Next in Time podcast. I want to wish you all a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And for these next episodes, we'll be doing a bit of recaps from previous guests. And so I hope you enjoy your holiday season.
Welcome to the Next in Time podcast, where we explore the fascinating depths of how people have the potential of impacting the world with the mission and vision of their project. Join us on this audio journey as we uncover the hidden gems of one's vision, delve into thought-provoking discussions of why they're pursuing it, and see how they're going to make an impact. If you're a curious person, this podcast is your go-to destination.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Next in Time podcast. I'm your host, ST, and today our guest is Tyler Witkowski. He is a multi-genre author, podcaster, mental health, and travel blogger. He is the president of Tea with Coffee Media that he has started with his wife and friends, which is a team of indie authors, designers, and editors whose vision is to help indie media producers make their dreams a reality. So Tyler, welcome to the show.
Thanks, ST. I'm happy to be here. Really excited to get into this conversation with you today and really give some value to your listeners and give them an insight on what it's like to be in the indie publishing industry.
Right. And welcome to, you're in the right podcast when you're talking about the vision and mission of what you're trying to do with the indie space.
Absolutely. That's something I've always been passionate about is the indie community. I started off as an indie author, and I just know how hard it can be out there for the indie community. And it's all about building each other up. You know what they say, the rising tide raises all ships. So that's really what I believe in, is we all got to jump on together and you pick what tide you're going to ride for the rest of your trip.
All right. And also you're a author of several books, including Not Alone, which is like based on true events around the struggles of mental health.
Yeah. Not Alone was my first novella I ever published back in 2019. It was based on some of my real life stories of struggles with mental illness, such as bipolar disorder, anxiety, and depression. It's a little bit fictionalized, but it still has the truth behind the stories in there. I used it as a story of hope. I've probably given away more copies of that than I've sold. I give it to libraries and schools and mental health institutes and hospitals and psychiatrists and therapists for them to share with their patients. So I've given away a lot more of that book than I've actually sold, but that's intentional because it is such a powerful story that I want to share with everybody and give people hope.
So how were you able to construct that book?
It took me about 3 months, and I decided one day I was driving home from work and I had just kind of this vision in my face, and I was like, you know what? The title is going to be Not Alone. It's going to be a mental health book, and this is what I'm going to do. I was living with my grandma at the time because we were waiting on our house to be built. And my grandma was my biggest inspiration growing up to be a writer. She inspired me and was an English teacher and later my elementary school principal. And she really instilled that love of writing in me. And so staying with her gave me that constant fuel to the fire that I wanted to write more and be more and tell my story. And she loved it. She followed along every chapter. My wife read it every chapter as I was writing it. And at first, I really wasn't sure if I was going to publish it. I just kind of wrote it just to say, hey, I wrote a book. And then everybody that read it loved it. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to publish this and share my story with the world. Like I said,
I believe you must have made a good amount of following. Must have created a good following for that.
Yeah, I especially a really local following to where I used to live in Leland, North Carolina. I'm traveling full time now, but where I used to live, I had a pretty good following. I won quite a few awards for that book, was named Young Professional of the Year for a couple of things, a couple of different magazines and organizations. So I gained a pretty good local following, and now I'm working on branching out and expanding that local following to more of a national following and eventually a worldwide following.
Makes sense. And so, yeah, tell me about where you come from originally, especially because I feel like you come You said you're originally from North Carolina, right?
Right. My hometown is Leland, North Carolina, which is about 15 minutes outside of Wilmington, North Carolina, right on the coast. And it used to be a small town whenever I was growing up, but it's actually one of the fastest growing cities in the United States. And I think it's the second fastest growing county in the United States. So there's been a lot of growth over the past 10 years. And it wasn't the hometown that I grew up in anymore. And it, you know, it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just, it grew up and I missed having that, you know, that place to myself and a spot where I could be me. And with that growth came some growing pains for me personally. And I determined that what my next step was to sell my house and move into an RV to travel the United States full time, to embrace new cultures and learn new societies and take in these natural wonders and just be able to become a better version of myself.
And what about your journey through your mental illness? I believe you had those struggles growing up in a way, and you were able to like journey through them and document them in your first novel.
Right. I've been, you know, bipolar. I was diagnosed cyclothymia, misdiagnosed cyclothymia, I should say, whenever I was about 12 years old. Cyclothymia is kind of like a bipolar disorder, just on a lesser scale. Back in 2015, I was diagnosed bipolar 1. And on top of that, anxiety and depression. And that journey really taught me that, you know, you have to rely on the people that are around you. There are a lot of people around you that love you and care about you, and you have to kind of take the time to see that and understand that and rely on them, because as somebody with a mental illness, you feel weak, you feel defeated, and you don't feel like you're worthy of love. And that's just your brain lying to you. So being able to hear people say, I love you, and this is, you know, good advice for people who have loved ones with mental illness, you know, be sure to tell them you love them. Tell them how much they're valued and appreciated. And because those words of affirmation are very important to people with mental illness, because they have to hear, because in their own brain, they're stuck feeling like they're worthless and they're useless. And some of that comes from childhood trauma, you know, especially for me in my instance. I had a lot of trauma growing up as a child. And, you know, a lot of the negative thoughts come from things that happened in my past. So I've been able to grow and develop coping skills and be able to develop a following of people that I can give hope to. And that's something that's really, really important to me.
And what was your perspective on it, on mental health now?
I think mental health now is getting a little less destigmatized, but there's still a stigma there that surrounds it. You know, people want to feel quote unquote normal, but there is no normal. Everybody's got some kind of illness. Mental illness is just another illness. It's no different than, you know, me being on 5 different medications right now just to keep my illness under control is no different than somebody who has high blood pressure or diabetes.
There's plenty of people who always say mental illness is just only what's in you. You just got to overcome it you just got to basically just say, hey, you just got to do what you have to do to overcome it, instead of saying like, okay, why are you suffering from mental illness?
Right, exactly. And, you know, I'm really passionate about mental health now, even more than ever, just because I've seen so many people reach out to me and tell me that they've been inspired by my story and that they look forward to hearing my updates or reading my blogs. And, you know, that to me is the biggest reason to keep on doing what you're doing, is because you're making a difference in the lives of the people around you, the lives of the people who are following you, the lives of people who are just like you.
And also, you mentioned earlier that your grandmother was a major influence in how you were able to grow, right?
Yes, my grandparents, both my grandpa, who just passed away a couple months ago, and my grandma, they were both two of my biggest inspirations growing up. I lived with them quite a bit. Didn't really live with them, but stayed with them a lot, and they helped raise me while my mom, who was a single mom, was working. And they were my light whenever I was going through the hard times. They, you know, I would stay at my dad's house and go through some tough times, and I would look forward to going back to my mom's house so I could be with my mom and my grandma and my grandpa and just, you know, be able to take care or have them take care of me and remind me that I am loved and, you know, be able to see the hope. They always believed in me. They always inspired me. They knew that I could be better before I knew I could be better. They've always known that. And it took me 25 years to learn it before I finally accepted that.
So what was your grandmother like?
Very sweet old Southern lady. She was an English teacher, later my principal at elementary school. And she was very proper. She's just very big into taking care of people and loving people. My grandpa, he was very much the same way. You know, at his funeral, there were so many people there that talked about how he was like a father figure to them and how he helped grow them and raise them and help them become a better man or a better woman or a better person in general. And, you know, that to me was what I wanted to be like. I wanted to be like my grandpa and be the type of man that he was.
All right. And then going forward, did you always wanted to be an author or a travel blogger?
No, I didn't really know what I wanted to do growing up. I just kind of was winging it. And then I figured out one day that I had a passion for marketing and communications, which is what I do full time during the day. And then by night, I discovered a love of writing and blogging and podcasting and a publishing company and just helping indie authors and indie producers succeed.
And now with your current, I think you've published about 3 or 4 books, right?
Yes, I've published a romance novel, a young adult thriller, and a poetry collection.
So how was that growth journey for you from when you started writing to what you are writing to your current like level of writing?
Oh, I've seen so much tremendous growth. Whenever I actually redid my first novella, Not Alone, and turned it into a full-blown novel. So I added about 20,000 words to it and made it a whole new story with the same kind of storyline. And just going back through it, I'm like, man, like everybody loved this book, but it was not well written. You know, the story was good, but as far as like the editing and the grammar and the thing and the showing versus the telling, I'm like, man, I could have done so much stuff better. But here I am. You know, that's why you write and that's why you continue to write, is so that you can grow. And that's what I've done. And I went back and re-edited the book and made it into a, you know, a better story, in my opinion. And we're going to release it. Anybody who's got a copy of the first edition can get a free copy of the new edition if they just send me a picture of the cover. So I'm giving away free copies of the new edition. Like I said, that book, I give away more copies than I sell, just because I want to help people and I want to give them hope and share my story.
And in your mind, what was your biggest failure and how were you able to learn from that experience?
I would say my biggest failure was a couple of years ago, I was fired from a job that I had for about 5 or 6 years. That job was what had been funding my writing habits and my publishing company and my podcast. And whenever I lost it, you know, it wasn't anything of my doing. It was a very political position. And when you get politics involved, and like literal politics, not just corporate politics, but government politics.
Yeah, well, seriously, then just anytime you just say the word politics, just get ready for a blood sport.
Yeah, exactly. So I lost that job and I kind of struggled. I was going through a hard time, going through some real depression, and finally found the position that I'm at now and was able to start getting things started to really turn around for me. I figured out what I wanted to do to be happy. I finally decided to take care of myself instead of taking care of everybody else, because while I was working at that other job, while I wasn't making the greatest of salaries, I was working 7 days a week all day, and it wasn't for me. I was working for somebody else. And then I finally realized that I've got to do what I've got to do and take care of me first and foremost, because if I'm not taking care of me, then what good am I to anybody else?
Right. Makes sense. And now that you've published several books, you got into this journey of traveling and all that stuff. Now you're starting this indie firm called Tea with Coffee Media, where you're focusing more on, you know, providing indie authors an opportunity to, you know, build a career, right, as indie authors, or what's your vision for it?
Exactly. So our goal right now is to help indie authors grow and become better. We help them with the whole process of the authors that we sign. We help them and cover the expenses for their editing, their cover design, their formatting, promotion, all of that good stuff. We take care of it for them. We go through that process. We want to help build up our authors and make them successful. If they get an offer from one of the big five publishing companies after they're signed with us because their book is that good, we want them to take it, because that big five company can offer them more opportunities than we can offer right now, because we want our authors to succeed. Our authors are first and foremost to us. We also offer services to authors who aren't signed by us, who authors who are wanting to go the self-publishing route. We have editing and formatting and book cover design and marketing services available to authors. But eventually our goal is to expand out to other media producers, such as YouTubers and podcasters and bloggers, and help them be able to grow their platforms and provide them with useful resources that will help take them to the next level.
And so what is it that you really find interesting or really fascinating about being this owner of an indie publishing firm?
You know, I think the funny thing is a few minutes ago, I mentioned that I hated working 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, for somebody else. But when you own your own company or your own blog, podcast, whatever, you understand, you've got to work 24/7 and bust your tail to make sure that you're getting things done. And while some people, they don't find that enjoyable, I have such a passion for what I'm doing that is one of my favorite parts, is just staying up and working and getting things done and seeing the results and checking sales and checking reviews and checking marketing reports and financial reports and just seeing it all come together. That's something to me that is the most inspiring thing, is just seeing all my blood, sweat, and tears really come together and form something that is meaningful and is going to make a difference in the world.
And so why is it that people come to you as a force for their works to be published, or let's say for them to be marketed, or let's say edited, or whatever, any process of writing? Like, why would they want to come to your firm for that?
So we've actually had authors who have come to us who have turned down contracts that had advances from other publishing companies because they believed in our mission. They believed in what we were doing and how we went about things. We really have a passion for going the extra mile for our authors. I've created author websites for some of our signed authors, and that's something that we normally charge $500 or $600 for, you know, to make a basic 2 or 3 page website for a regular author. But I've taken the time out of my day to build all our authors' websites and to help them blog and to teach them new methods of marketing themselves, because like I said, they are the most important ones to me. And that's a big difference that sets us and a lot of publishers apart, is we're not about the money. Yeah, we want to make you as much money as possible, but we're not trying to make a killing out here. I'm not trying to be get rich quick. I just want to make a suitable living to where I can focus on this full time and make the authors rich. That's what I care about.
And so what is your overall future goals with what you're building with Tea with Coffee Media? You mentioned that you're trying to start first you want to create authors, but then you want to venture off into YouTubers and podcasters. So why is it that you want to also add on those other aspects? Let's just say if you're very good at publishing, for let's say you're really good with helping out authors become successful, like, why is it that your type of services will be beneficial to YouTubers and podcasters?
eventually we're going to bring on some podcast editors, video editors, things of that sort to allow us to do production on the back end for podcasts and YouTube videos. We'll also offer like editing services to bloggers, transcript services to YouTubers and podcasters, to where we'll go through and transcribe their entire podcast for them. So we'll be able to expand our offering and say, these are the types of things that we're going to do for other indie creators. And the reason that I want to do that is because I've spent time doing indie things. I've done indie writing. I've done indie podcast. I've done indie blogs. I know what it takes and I know how hard it is. I just want to help as many people as possible. So we want to get our footing set with the authors first, and then we'll slowly move into bloggers so that we can help them with formatting, formatting, editing services, and building their websites and scheduling posts and running their social media and things like that. So we just want to help out all the indie community.
And I mean, that's going to require a larger budget, like larger budgets to be able to facilitate more and more services, right?
Correct. Yeah, we will definitely have to. This is in our 15-20 year plan, is to be able to expand out to that point. Probably in the next 5 years, we're looking at moving into bloggers. I'd say 10 to 15 years, we're going to look at podcasts and YouTubers. You know, of course, if things go extremely well and we start getting, enough funds in that we can move into the next phase sooner, we'll evaluate that as a team. You know, we've got a board that comes together every other Tuesday to discuss the business needs. And so we'll come together and discuss that. But right now it's a 20-year goal. And, you know, we have smaller goals and larger goals, but I'm a big picture person. I want to see us hit that larger goal. So I focus on that a lot.
And who is your most successful client so far?
We've had a lot of successful books so far, but I think our most successful book has been The Lost Maidens. It is a lesbian Viking romance book. It actually won Scribblesworth Book Review's Romance of the Year last year whenever it came out. So, and it's probably sold the most copies.
This was set during the Viking Age, right?
Yes. Yes.
Interesting. Never knew that lesbians existed in during the Viking Age, because people have kind of, people usually think of it as like sword fighting men, just moving front, just conquering land.
Right. And this was kind of a different take on that classic Viking story. And, you know, the authors did such a good job weaving in, like you, a lot of people do think that Vikings didn't have lesbians. And in the beginning of the book, it starts off as a lecture that is being given by a professor. And he talks about how these two shield maidens were just best friends and that's all they were. And at the end of the class, one girl raises her hand and goes, "It sounds more like they were lovers. Why were they just best friends?" And the professor goes, "Everybody knows that Vikings weren't lesbians." And that's how the book ends. You know, it's like one of those clapbacks against, you know, the way we view society nowadays, that just because we didn't accept it in this country until such and such date doesn't mean that other cultures didn't accept it before then.
Yeah, that's very interesting. But, and so now coming forward, right now you're currently living as like a nomad, right? Living in the RV, traveling around. Where are you currently based in?
Right now we are in Mount Airy, North Carolina. We'll be back in Lake Waccamaw in a couple of weeks, in the beginning of July. So we'll be back in Lake Waccamaw, North Carolina, which is, nice little area. It's about an hour from Leland, about an hour and a half from Wilmington, kind of in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, because actually, funny thing is, Mount Airy, it's synonymous with where Andy Griffith was from.
Exactly. The campground that we're staying at is actually called Mayberry Campground, after the Andy Griffith Show's town.
Right. Do you ever consider, like, the reason why you left Wilmington or that Leland, North Carolina, was just because you initially grew up thinking it was like Mayberry, but then you left it and then...
Yeah, it was my Mayberry, and then I've realized that that wasn't my happiness anymore. You know, I think Andy Griffith had a house that he stayed in mainly in the Outer Banks, and that was his Mayberry. And, you know, I'm on a journey to find my new Mayberry. And, you know, that's...
Aren't we all on our journey to find our own Mayberry?
Exactly.
Cool. And yeah, I think we're going to wrap this episode up on just one last question, which is, as a successful author and a publisher and now starting a publishing company, like, what advice would you give to aspiring authors, creators, and all that? Just like, how can you get them? Let's say, you know, a lot of authors definitely have writer's block. That's like their biggest challenge, that's everyone's biggest challenge when they're writing.
Right.
So what would you advise on those aspiring authors and how they could overcome that?
Yeah, writer's block is something that's hard for everybody. My biggest piece of advice is to look at writing prompts. Look at, you know, you can Google writing prompts or go to social media sites like Twitter and search the writing community, and you can find these writing prompts that will give you a little bit of inspiration. And what I've done in the past whenever I've hit a wall writing is I've taken one of these writing prompts and I was able to craft these writing prompts. A lot of the ones that I do are based on your zodiac signs. It's like pick your big three zodiac signs, and it gives you a list of popular tropes and genres, and you basically put together something with that. And I will take those and make them into short stories and either not do anything with them and just say, okay, I've broken out of writer's block. I wrote a story and came from start, middle to end. And then I typically feel those creative juices flowing. If that doesn't work, I'll go back to what I've already written in my work in progress and start rereading some of it and just kind of get inspired again to write or do some edits on it so I feel like I'm being productive. And then by the time I get done doing the edits, I'm like, ooh, I've got some more ideas of where I could pick up and connect point A to point B to point C.
Sounds good. All right, cool, Tyler. Thank you so much for coming on the Next in Time podcast. And we look forward to seeing how this whole venture in the indie business or writing or in every sort of category plays out.
Thanks, ST. I appreciate your time.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Next in Time podcast. We hope you enjoyed diving into the intriguing vision of our guest today. Don't forget to subscribe and follow us on social media to stay updated on future episodes. If you have any suggestions or feedback, we'd love to hear from you. Until next time, stay curious and keep exploring.